Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Captain America Minute, where we examine the 2011 Joe Johnston-directed feature, Captain America, the First Avenger, at the rate of 1 minute of screen time per episode. I'm one of your hosts just a few miles from Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. This is Jim O'Kane of TVDads.com.
And I'm Hal Bryan, an airplane nerd from the home of the Experimental Aircraft Association here in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
And our third host, Brian Fees, is on assignment somewhere in Northern California, so we're just going to soldier on from here.
This is our chance to talk about it.
That's right. So. Yes, the gossip stuff.
Anyway,
we'll get into it a bit. But Hal, we do have a guest. Would you like to let us know who we've got this time?
Absolutely, a real pleasure and a privilege to talk to somebody who was involved in this production that we've been spending so much time talking about, and that is Max Newman, who plays a very important role, another step in what we see in Steve Rogers' development. He is credited as Boy at Dock, but we're going to talk to him about all that entailed and what it meant to shoot those scenes. So, Max, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
All right.
And Hal, let's while you still have the microphone in front of you, could you go over the synopsis of minute 42.
Absolutely. And we're going to ask Max to join in as appropriate. So we haven't rehearsed this, but we are working without a net. We'll see what happens. All right. Minute 42. On the Brooklyn waterfront, Hydra agent Heinz Kruger, desperate and cornered, grabs a young boy, clutching him as a shield. The boy's mother screams, her voice raw with terror. No, no, not my son. Stop it. Don't hurt him. Kruger, his eyes wild, snarls, get back. The boy struggles, shouting,
let me go.
The mother lunges forward, pleading, let go of my son. Don't hurt him. Steve Rogers, sprinting toward the scene, his enhanced strength propelling him, raises his hands. Wait, don't, don't. He yells, but Kruger, in a ruthless move, hurls the boy into the river. No, don't, Steve cries as he reaches the edge of the wharf. The boy bobs up, sputtering but defiant.
Go get him. I can swim,
he shouts. Kruger bolts toward a waiting submarine, its hatch open as it prepares to dive. Steve's gaze hardens, his focus locked on Kruger as the sub's engines rumble, beginning to submerge.
You still got it, Max. I got to tell you, that's... It's Oscar worthy.
It's not quite the biggest part in the whole picture, but I think it's important. And in that it, as we have said so many times, Jim, and with Brian, it's another sort of step in Steve's development. He's got a choice right there. Keep going after the bad guy or save the innocent. And there's no doubt in his mind. He's got to go save the innocent. And then, you know, Max, for your character in the water to just cheer him on and stuff, that's, I'm reading a lot into it, but I pictured your character as being cut from a similar cloth. Like, you know, you're a kid, you're in the water. Most kids would be terrified, but you can swim and, you know, you're showing that same strength of your character, rather showing that same strength of character saying, you know, let's go worry about justice instead of pulling me out of the water.
Yeah, and I think that was kind of the idea behind the scene. It was kind of how they pitched it to be when they sort of walked through on the first day, this is what we're going to do. They made it clear to not sound like afraid when in the water and be kind of strong and defiant, kind of like you said, like, you know, go for the justice, not me.
Yeah, they're two tough kids from Brooklyn, you know, sorting it all out. I got to ask, how did you wind up in the Albert Docks, you know, swimming along in the estuaries of the Mersey? Where did this come about?
Yeah, so I had gone for a few auditions before then. A friend of mine, actually, in what we call primary school, elementary school, had been in like a small UK movie. And I did a lot of acting at the time, and my mum got in contact with his mum, put me in contact with an agent. I went for tons and tons of auditions before this one came along. What's funny about it is, at first, in the casting agent, we were auditioning for the role of, there's a scene right at the beginning where you see like some kids playing baseball when they're doing the chase after the facility's blown up. And that's initially like what we acted out. So I had no idea that it was actually even going to be a speaking role until the very last audition.
Wow. I had read in a somewhere on the internet, I had read that they had actually you did everything but the stunt itself of getting tossed. Was it somebody else that was thrown in? Well.
So that's an interesting story. So when they did that first walkthrough on set, they sort of said, okay, here's where, Heinz Kruger is going to pick you up. He's going to put the gun to your head, drag you here. And then it's at this point, he's going to try and shoot Steve. He's not going to be able to shoot. His gun's out of bullets. So we're going to replace you. And then he introduced me to a little person. I forget the guy's name. And he says, this is where we're going to switch you with this guy. He's got a wig of your own hair already because they made me cut off all my hair for a wig the previous summer. And this is where we're going to switch you with this guy, and we're going to chuck him in the river. And I said, and I was looking at it. It wasn't that high of a fall, maybe 10 feet into water. And I said, hey, why don't I just do it? We don't need to swap me out. I'll happily do the stunt. And I think they really loved that, especially Joe Johnson, because it would have been, I think, more expensive to hire this guy than me to do it, firstly. But then because we didn't need to switch us out, it kind of, I think, made the scene flow more smoothly. And so, yeah, they already paid him for his day rate, so they spent the rest of the day chucking him in the river 37 times to line up the shots, send him home, and then I got his trailer for the remaining 5 days. So yeah, win-win on
Now,
my behalf.
did the stunt person get to keep the wig, or do we know what happened
I don't know what
happened
happened to the
there?
wig, but
That's
that was, yeah,
incredible.
they told
That's
me the year before, you got to grow your hair as long as possible, then we'll send you to this hairdresser who's going to cut off all your hair.
Well, yeah, somewhere
that's
on
just a
eBay,
just
there's a
amazing.
yeah, scene, yeah, a screen worn wig.
Right.
Wow.
And it was it the it's the actor playing Heim playing Kruger who did the throwing as well, or
Yeah,
did you have a
Richard
stunt?
Armitage.
Armitage,
He
yes,
was a
thank
nice
you.
guy. He We'd actually already met before at the hotel. And so we kind of already like he was very he was kind of what's it called? He was on TV in the UK, so we hadn't actually watched the show but he was on, but we knew about it and we saw him in the lobby and we thought he was going to be kind of uppity, the only real professional actor in that scene apart from Captain America. And he was a very nice guy. Built up a relationship with him, felt pretty comfortable, so he was the one chucking me in.
Yeah. Now, did you live in the Liverpool area when this was being filmed, or how far away were you from home?
Yeah, I grew up in London, so it was about a 2-3 hour drive. They sent a driver down, which was nice. Drove us up. First time I'd ever been to Liverpool. And yeah.
Yeah, the Albert Docks is quite a place. I've been there. I used to work for British Aerospace and been there a bunch of times, and it's just such an amazing. And they have that science museum, and it doesn't look like the matte paintings that we see in this minute of the movie. It's actually just really, really a charming place. But I don't know. I mean, the Mersey is not exactly warm. How cold was it when you were getting dropped in?
I don't know the exact temperature, but it was freezing. I had like a wetsuit, a dry suit underneath as well. And it was still unbelievably cold and quite horrible. They only ended up throwing me in the actual water twice. And the rest of the times they had a mat floating on the water that I was thrown onto. But actually the day before when I did commit to jumping in, my dad did say to them, he was like, do you guys think you could clean up this water? Because it was absolutely filthy, filled
Yeah.
with trash. They said, don't worry, we got to clean it up for the scene anyways. Still ended up being pretty gross, but made it out alive, I guess.
Wow.
Wow, yeah.
Now, did you have safety swimmers on hand or anything like that? Is it?
Yeah, there were a team of divers underneath, and then
Yeah.
tucked away in the corner that you can't see, there was like a whole crew on a dock. So, yeah.
It just seems like such a remarkable thing that, in real life, a kid running around and playing and, taking a jump into the water is rambunctious and adventurous, but maybe not, life-threatening. But somehow when we're doing it for a film and this young actor says, no, really, I could do it. You can throw me into a river. It just seems it seems like a much bigger deal.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I think a lot of the comments I saw, so I trend occasionally on Instagram. It's really funny. My friends will send it to me, like the first time a hostage wasn't useless. And I read the comments going through, and people say just the absolute craziest nonsense, like, I can't believe Disney forced this kid to jump in the water. Well, firstly, they weren't even owned by Disney back then. This was pre the Disney acquisition. But secondly, I asked to do it myself. But then some of the other comments, you know, kind of make sense as well. Like, well, you know, back in the, what, 40s, kids didn't really know how to swim. It wasn't like today's day where kind of every kid is will be able to tread water. It wasn't the same back then. So I guess in that context, it probably would be a big deal, right?
Yeah, well, the other thing, we've done other movies with Joe Johnston, and he's not afraid to put his actors in some, not danger, but put them in precarious situations. Hal, I'm sure you're remembering when Joe strapped his number one on the call sheet in the back of an airplane with and he was in charge of not flying but trying to land the plane with a or they would have had a disaster, and as far as I know, Billy Campbell had no background in landing tail dragger
right.
planes.
No. So yeah, Joe is there's always a thread, if we've talked about this a lot, there's always a thread of authenticity and plausibility and everything he does. I mean, even if, you know, we're talking a superhero movie and we've got a sort of a fantastic premise, you know, sort of everything, once you accept that fantastic premise, hey, we have a super soldier serum, you know, sort of downstream of that, everybody hopefully behaves in a reasonably realistic way. And that's amazing to me. I think that it wouldn't have had that quite the same impact, even as good as it would have looked if we had sort of swapped you out, Max, for this the stunt person. And if it was so fast and you'd swear you could never tell, there's something more authentic about just seeing your face, you know, going all the way down and you paddling around. Now, when you're in the water and you deliver your line, you're treading water. You mentioned there was maybe a pad or a platform. Are you standing on something at that point? Or are you truly treading water and delivering the line?
I was treading water, delivering the line. It was, I think it was hard the first time because it was sort of the shock of hitting the cold water. I could like barely splutter it out. And even actually on the second time as well, it was pretty difficult. But I think they had a whole mic set up. They had the divers, like I said, so they were able to pick it up the second time, which is good because I really didn't want to do that a third time.
Wow. Did you have to do ADR for that, or was that your actual voice in the on the pickup?
I assume it's my actual voice. I didn't hear anything about it being overlaid afterwards, so I've always assumed it is, but I don't know.
Max, if you don't mind me asking, how old were you when that scene was shot?
I would have been, the movie came out 2011, right?
Right.
So I would have been, it was the year before, so I would have been 10.
Wow. That's something. And any time that we talk to actors from really anywhere in the UK, we're always struck by how good and natural they are at American accents. So you don't, you don't have a bunch of lines and you're kind of yelling them, but even in those short lines, there was nothing in there that told me you were anything other than a kid from Brooklyn.
And you do have an American mom. Is that, do I understand that correctly?
Yes. So my mom's American, so I grew up around the accent. They actually had the amount of detail and work they put into just a minute of shooting is incredible. I mean, they had someone on there on set with me, like I don't even know what you'd call them. He was a specialist in accents and languages, walking through the line again and again, doing exercises to get it right. Because it definitely wasn't good when I turned up on set day one.
So maybe a dialogue coach?
Yeah, I think that's what they were called. Yeah. Okay.
Fantastic.
One thing that's separate from Max's acting, I did notice, I walked back through this through minute 41 and minute 42, and Heinz Luger's shot. This is
Kruger.
Kruger, not yes. Kruger. Kruger's Luger. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Kruger's Luger is now. Hal, you're better at armaments than I am. There, that has a 9-shot cartridge.
I believe it would be. I thought it would be 8, like 8 plus 1 in the chamber, but it may be 9. I think it is technically a Walther P38, but it's all part of the same.
Yeah,
the same family. Yeah. So
okay. Well, from what I counted, there are 9 shots. That the last one, as he's going around the corner and shoots the that float, that big round float, that was the 9th shot from minute 41 to 42. So when he's out of bullets, he really is out of bullets in the in the appropriate amount. I was surprised at that detail, but Joe getting it right, of course, seems natural for his. It's his MO.
Exactly. And we're kind of, I think, hopefully past the point of just accepting the magical Hollywood magazine that has, you know, unlimited rounds and everything else. Although when you see something like some of the Tommy guns, when those are firing full auto, you know, you'll get, you know, way too much out of those. But otherwise, if you sat there and held the trigger, it goes for several seconds and then that's it. So.
Oh, Max, when they were filming all of this, I guess you said you were on site for 5 days. Is that right?
So it was scheduled for 5, and we actually were able to do it in 3, which I think made Joe very happy. Probably had to do with not having to do the stunt double work. I guess we got it in 2 shots, throwing me in the water. So that's probably what contributed to it being only 3 days.
But you were were they shooting you 3 days in a row in the water, or just one of the? I'm assuming there's one where you're doing the pursuit on land Kruger's carrying you around. And did that take up most of the time, or I guess it would be the water stuff would take more.
It was. Let me think. I think the first day was that very first bit where he grabs me from my mother and drags me along, and right up until he shoots that big bull. I think we did that. That was 2 shots technically. And I think we spent all day doing just those 2 shots. And then the next day was throwing me on the mat, like I want to say 24 times.
Wow.
And then I can't remember if we did it on the second day or the third day as well. But just the 2 shots chucking me in the water.
Wow, I'm imagining the ride home must have been an interesting one from Liverpool. Saying, "Well, I guess that's this is your career now of being." I mean, did this affect your career later on? As you get, you do have that on your CV. That by the way, I was in a Marvel movie.
Yeah, I think it definitely helps you going into auditions afterwards. Like, you have a lot more cred, obviously. That you were able to do it and weren't a problem, presumably. But actually, I stopped pretty soon after then. I remember 2015, I went for an audition, and they kind of expect you to treat it like a full-time job at that point. And I was pretty academic in high school. And I showed up having not learned my script, and they said, well, you've got to learn your lines. Otherwise, you've got to make a choice. Do you want to be an actor full-time now, or do you want to focus on your studies? And I left that audition. I told my mom, I was like, well, I'm never doing this again. Like, if they're expecting me to achieve it like a job now, I think I'm a bit too young to completely throw away high school and beyond. So that was my last audition after that. But it definitely helped. You were able to get better auditions. I think it's more, that's definitely the highlight of my acting career.
Okay, yeah. Is it a card that comes up? I mean, you were saying it pops up on Instagram every once in a while, but I was just wondering how often this pops up in your life nowadays.
Fairly often with the Instagram stuff. I work in tech sales now. I have it in my email signature, former child actor, so that gets a lot of traction. I think the thing that honestly surprises me the most is how many adults know exactly, not only, know exactly which scene they're talking about, but they know the line as well. That is such a weird experience. And like, you don't really ever get used to it. It's kind of, it's nice. It's definitely nice.
Wow. Yeah. It's always interesting. There's the Chris Evanses of the world, but there's so many single line people that when you watch a movie, you become, if not a star, at least a meme. We have coming up on a future show. Actually, coming up in 2 weeks, we have a scene with Radio City Music Hall Hitler, who's in your movie, and he's in the movie for maybe I don't know, a minute and a half, but he's kind of had a whole career on this. He goes to schools all around Britain, talking about. He also had a very bit part in the Harry Potter movies, but from that he's been you know, he's been eating off of that for, I don't know, 20 years now. And just being able to bring that up, people go, oh, I know that guy. He got punched by Captain America. So it's amazing how much that, I mean, the way I'm understanding it is it didn't change your life, but it's given you an interesting, kind of the chocolate sprinkles on top of the cupcake of your life, for lack of a really good analogy.
Yeah. It's the easiest, the easiest win ever, when you have to do like an awkward icebreaker in a group and they have the dreaded tell me a fun fact about yourself one. Yeah. That's an easy freebie. Right.
Yeah, you must win at that every time. And something I'd wonder about, and I'll confess my network connection stumbled there pretty good, so I did miss a little bit of your last exchange with Jim, so apologies if you guys just discussed this, but when the movie came out, and now you're going back to school as an 11-year-old, what are your friends and classmates thinking about this?
Yeah, I mean, aside from the initial rush right at the beginning, where, you know, they know that I took the time out of school to go and shoot this, there was obviously like quite a lot of hype, but, you know, pretty quickly died down until the movie came out again. Social media only just really started becoming a thing when the movie came out, and we were still a bit too young for it, being 11 and 12. So there wasn't really quite the rush that, like, you know, you see today with all the memes of it, and sometimes people will send me the meme and stuff like that. But sure. Yeah, not too much after the movie came out.
You must have been, for at least 5 minutes or so, the coolest kid in school.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
Wow. Well, and you said that was, you know, in 2015, that was kind of your end of your acting, your professional acting career. But do you still dabble at all in, like, you know, stage acting or getting into things like that? Or?
Yeah, so I did in high school. I auditioned for the Oliver Twist West End productions a couple times. The best I ever got was I was put through the next round auditions for the Artful Dodger. That would have been a really cool role to play. Wow. But I quickly got booted out of that. There was, like, the second I got through to the next stage and saw all the kids in that room, they were the ones that were treating it like a career at that point and had driven 3 hours to London to audition. Because I guess that was also kind of, I was lucky in that I didn't really have to treat it like a full-time job, because I could just hop on a train and be there in 30 minutes, whereas most of these other kids are traveling from all over the country for these auditions. I did that. I did some acting in high school. We did like a play that we put on in a theater in Hammersmith, but that was about it.
Wow. I guess it's you're done. You don't feel like there'll be a second call someday with her.
So yeah, funny enough, I was looking for a new job a couple years ago. I was working in tech consulting, and I thought I had like just the littlest thought of, why don't I try and find Joe Johnson's email and send him an email, see if he's got any more one-liner roles for me coming up. Maybe I'll get back into it, because I thought he might remember me on the fact that I saved their production quite a bit of money, shortening the shoot time.
Wow. Well, we can pass it along to Joe and see
if we'll keep putting in good words.
If he does Jumanji 3 or something like that, right. Maybe we can.
Yeah.
You know, just say, if you need somebody thrown off onto something else, we know a guy.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Max, thanks so much for being a part of our show. This is exactly the kind of thing that we try to do on our podcast, is to meet the people that, you know, I mean, we're not TMZ, we're not big, but it's great hearing from the people that made this movie possible. So thanks for being a part of this.
Of course.
Also, I'd like to thank our audience. If you'd like to continue the conversation, we're always available at Camp Lehigh, the Captain America Minute listeners base on Facebook. If you do like our show, don't forget to subscribe and leave a like at the podcast streaming service where you found this episode. Also, please check out our website, capminute.com, for the latest about our podcast topics and guests. And be sure to join us here next time on the Captain America Minute.
I can do this all day.